Well, good morning, everyone. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 13. We're going to be there this morning as we talk about this this giving thanks, as we talk about this Thanksgiving season and all of the things that we have to be thankful for. And one of the things that I've experienced in ministry is, as Howard talked about in his class today, and especially, you know, within the Church of Christ, change always gets is always met with some resistance. And one of the things that I've seen in my years of ministry is that that it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around change or the need for change. But what I want to do is not necessarily change the way that we think about Thanksgiving, but broaden the way that we think about Thanksgiving. Is that increase the scope of our thankfulness and of our thanks. And so this morning, as we talk about giving thanks in this, this week, we are, what's the 24th, the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, we're, 3 days basically away from, just one of the greatest days of the year. And, because we're all going to be with our families, we're just going to have these amazing meals. There's going to be great football games on. Well, there's going to be football games on, whether they're great or not. I mean, the Lions are going to be playing, so there's that. But, I mean, we're going to have family and food and football, and it's just going to be, it's just a great day. I love it. I love the, and there's such a superiority that I feel on that day. I just feel, because I know what's going to happen the next day on, Black Friday, the going outs and the shopping and all that's going to start, even earlier now, because apparently, we can't wait to beat each other up for $5 off of a, Barbie dream cycle. I don't know, but. I think of all those people that are going to be doing that, and I think I'm going to be nowhere near that. So I feel this, this air of superiority because I'm above that and so much smarter than they are and all of that. So I kind of relish that, but it's a great day, isn't it? It's a great day to be together, but it's just more than just Thanksgiving. I want to expand the idea of that day of giving thanks. And I want to talk this morning about not Thanksgiving. And it's not a term that I came up with, but it's a term that I think that we need to really incorporate more than just Thanksgiving. And that is of thanks living, of being a people that live in this idea, this reality, this paradigm. I mean, it's, this holiday, more than any other holiday, should not be just once a year. Not because, I like to just eat a big giant meal and be with my family, but because of really what it signifies if we wrap our minds around what is actually going on. We talk about, as Al brought up in today is, Christmas is coming up, and whether or not we, we celebrate that as the birth of Christ, the fact of the matter is that the birth of Christ took place. And so we choose to meet everyone where they are and celebrate that and celebrate the birth of Christ and use that as an opportunity to reach people who are outside of Christ. And then during that season, we'll talk about we need to celebrate the birth of Christ every day. That's right. And what that would do is that it would lead us to being thankful for the birth of Christ, which would lead us back to this concept of living this thanks and being the kind of people and living the kind of lives that this is just who we are. It isn't something that's just celebrated and anticipated once a year. It's something that we wake up and that's just how we go about our daily lives. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, let us continually offer to God sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. As we think about the last couple of weeks that we've gone through this, this thanks series. This we talked about being thankable. We talked about being thankful for God and the character and who He is, and you know, last week, you know, the very last thing I said was we thank God for worship, because thanksgiving, thanking God, recognizing all, you know, what He has done and what He has given, and recognizing and putting ourselves in the place where we realize that thanks is all about recognizing that we couldn't do it, or we couldn't procure it, whatever it is, whether it was something done for us or something that was given to us. We can't do or get it on our own. And that brings us into a reality of God and the presence of God. And anytime anyone in Scripture recognized the presence of God, you know what they immediately did? They worshiped. Now, the interesting thing about it is that this is something different. You know, anytime anyone, look up worship in Scripture. Anytime that word is used, it's always face down. It's always standing up. It's always, you know, prostrate before the Lord. It's always, you know, it's always this, this posture of ridiculous reverence and awe. And that's what they did. And so whenever we, you know, whenever the presence of God is recognized, worship, spontaneous worship just erupts. It just breaks out. It's provoked from the presence of God. And Hebrews sums it up at the end of this book. The writer of Hebrews, he said, you know, let's continually do this. If thanks being to God, if thanksgiving to God, if recognizing all that He did, as Chance read in Psalm 107, if all of those things brings us to this thanks reality, and that is the presence of God, let us continually offer God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And as we do that, what we're going to find is that the thanks living reality starts with conducting ourselves in a manner keeping with Christ fellowship. That this thanks living reality, this thanks living lifestyle is always conducting ourselves in this way. That there's not a time when we don't recognize the presence of God. That there's not a time that we're not surrounded by either a blessing materially or a blessing spiritually. So we're provoked to act in a way that's worthy of the gospel, Paul would tell the Galatians. That's worthy of the calling, he would also challenge the Thessalonians with. It's just to conduct ourselves in a manner that's keeping with Christ fellowship. And what that means is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, is, you know, what does it look like to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of Christ fellowship? It means bless people. That's what that means. It means bless people. Can we? Okay. Bless people. Do what Christ did. It means be thankable. Remember that? Remember, be thankable. Live the kind of life where when you leave the room, people are like, that was Christ. Christ was here. That was thankable people. An episode where Jesus did this is in Luke 17:11-17. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me over there. We're going to read this. We're going to read this this passage and look at what it means for us and to us. Look at it from a perspective of how we act and how we are acted towards. Starting in verse 11. Now he on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going to a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where were the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith
has made you well. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I read that, I see myself in that story. I see myself in all three characters in that story. And the whole idea of being a Christ follower is doing Christ follower type things and being the kind of person and living the kind of life that people are willing to come and thank us for something. The reality is that, you know, Jesus is, he's on his way somewhere. People call out to him and he does something for them. Now, we can go a long way and talk about being, we can talk about all of this, the cultural this or that with leprosy and staying on and all that means. But all I want us to key on is that Jesus was on his way somewhere and people called out to him and he stopped what he was doing. And he said something to him. He did something for him. He interrupted his day to be a thankable person. And you know what he did for them? He gave them their life back. And we don't have time to go into all of the reality of the ramifications of the change that took place, but he gave them their life back. And one of those people, one of the ten, came back and thanked him. And I don't know if he gave him anything. You know, we read about at the birth of Christ, he was given gifts. I don't know if the guy, you know, on his way back to thank him said, "Man, I'm going to get that guy a present," and he bought him. We don't know. We don't know if all we know is he thanked him. And Jesus said, "Well, wasn't there nine others just like you?" You know what Jesus didn't do before he blessed that guy? He didn't take into consideration the fact that he knew nine of those guys were not going to come back and thank him. He didn't take into consideration that none of them deserved what he was about to do for them. None of them deserved it then. They certainly didn't deserve it now. And so he just did it. He didn't think about their worthiness. He just considered their need. You know what I love about this is at the end, when he's disappointed probably in the lack of gratitude, the lack of realizing what had just happened to them, he didn't take it back. He didn't say, "Well, I'll show them. Guess what they've got now again." He didn't give them their leprosy back. So their thanks had nothing to do with his blessing them, his thankableness. You know, there's been times in my life when I've been Jesus in that, where I've done something for other people. And then there's times when I've been the thankful leper, where I've needed so much from God. And this is really more times than I've been Jesus. I've been the leper that was cleansed and come back and thank you, thank you, thank you. But too many times in my life, I've been the nine lepers who needed something more than anything else in the world, who was unable to do anything about it and receive such a ridiculously generous and unmerited blessing from God and then said nothing about it. But one guy said, "You know what, I'm going to do something. I'm going to come back. I'm going to praise him." Because Jesus was thankable. And if we're going to be Christ followers, then we're going to conduct ourselves on a daily basis. You know, we have to see ourselves as the one of those ten lepers. And we have to see ourselves as one of those ten lepers who's been cleansed of this flesh-eating terminal disease. And then we have to see ourselves as Jesus, if we're going to follow him, because we've been made clean, because we've been made Christ-like, then we've got to live in such a way that as we're just going on our merry way and we see someone in need, when we see that, we've got to live that thanks. The next thing is that if we're going to conduct ourselves in this manner, remember we talked about we got to listen to God. We got to listen to our Father and be thankful for a God who speaks. Not only be thankable, but thankful for a God who speaks. Keep going a little bit right in your Bible and you'll come up to John chapter 8, 2 through 47. There we read about the children of the devil. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here, and I've not come on my own, but he who sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he was a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. And the reason you don't hear is because you don't belong to God." If we're going to live this life of thanks, this offering, this sacrifice of praise, if we're going to live this, then we've got to be people who seek to hear God, who seek to listen to the Word of God, not only through Scripture, but through any and all of the ways that God speaks to us. And it's not just a casual where we think, okay, well, if in fact it's just, it happens, it happens. But we've got to be people who are seeking that out. Listen to the references he's making here. We hear from our Father. You know, there are relationships that are very important in our life. And there's something about the father relationship. And it's a unique relationship. And it goes beyond friendship. And it goes beyond expertise. And it goes beyond a lot of things. But you know, we seek out the advice of our Father. You know, we seek out the approval of our Father. Now, you know, some of you might be thinking, "Oh, I really don't." Depending on the relationship that you have, a healthy relationship from a healthy father who is being that godly dad, we seek that out, don't we? I mean, years after kids move out of the house, don't they call back and ask for advice? Don't they seek out your approval for what they're doing with their life, even after they're gone? If we're going to be these people who are Christ followers, we've got to not only be willing to hear in case the trumpet sounds or the thunder blast happens as we hear about God speaking to his people in the pages of Scripture, but we've got to be people who seek out to hear the voice of God, who seek out to follow the voice of God. That's living the thankfulness for a God who speaks. And the last thing, if we're conducting ourselves in a manner keeping with this Christ fellowship, as in Hebrews 13, we have to move towards a 24/7 worship. Now, this is where the change comes. This is where the broadening of this reality of our relationship with God. This is really where the thanks living happens. And we could go to verses like Romans 12 and 1, one of my favorites and a staple verse when it comes to this concept, where he says that, you know, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, and that's your spiritual act of worship. He's saying what real worship is, what real worshipers are, who are those who are living a constant state of sacrificing themselves, their lives, their this to God in an act of worship. And this is a stretch for us, But anything worth knowing about God, anything, any reality of God, you know, worth broadening is a stretch for where we currently are. And for us, this is a process. For us, this is a going from where we are to where God wants us to be. And it's a process. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, he says, let us continually offer God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And I've said all of that I've said up till now to make this point. What does God want from us? What does God really want from us? I mean, do you ever just sit and think, God, what do you want from me? I mean, he's given us all these commands that we cannot keep. And we've proven that. And he's told us that there's this salvation that's out there if we believe and if we have faith and all these things. And we know that we don't. We don't even have mustard seed faith. I mean, raise your hand if you've moved a mountain this week. I don't even have mustard seed faith. So I find myself, God, well, what do you want? What do you want from me? I can't live up to the standards that I read about. I don't know what it is. I just, what do you want from me? He wants the fruit of our lips. I mean, how do we thank God? How do we show God thanks? I mean, think about how does anybody show thanks for anything that you or I do for them? And that's an individual question, and it's one to be meditated on this week and pondered and thought about. And I've thought about it. One of the ways that, you know, I think about my kids and the things that I give them. And as Al points out, then he says, look, we work hard for the money that we have and we think that it's ours, but really God has given me the ability to even work. And so it's, you know, but whatever it is that I do for them, or I provide for them. You know what I want from them? Is to enjoy it. Is to love it. Is to appreciate it, to use it. You know, my kids have a go-kart. You know what I've had to do to that go-kart this year? I've had to put two sets of tires on it. And you know why? Because they have worn the tires out. They come pushing that thing home, arguing and fighting. Because the tires have popped, because they've worn them out. And, you know, something's always broke on it. I'm always fixing it. You know why? Because they ride that thing as long as there's gas in it. And they go over curbs and they jump through this and they that and the other and they run into trees and all kinds of stuff. And I would think, you know what? Why don't y'all take care of something? What are they supposed to do with it? They're supposed to ride it. And at first, be real careful, real careful. And then as they get better at it and get a little bit more excited about it, then the jumps start being built. And then the cats start running for their lives. You know, and all of the things that I would never do or would never sanction. And then I realize as they come back with these big grins on their faces, like, this is awesome. I'm like, they really appreciate that thing. They really love that. And then there's other things that you give your kids and they just wear them out. I mean, like shoes with holes in them. Why are you holes in your shoes? Well, I wear them every day. What do we have that God's that we just wear out? That we're so thankful for that we just wear it out. As cleansed lepers, Do we just wear out the story of the leprosy that we had, that God so mercifully called us unto Himself to take away from us? Do we go and make a commotion about it like He told those people? He said, go and show the priest. Do you know what kind of a commotion they were about to make? Because they were known as lepers. They were seen as lepers. And when they went to show themselves to the priest, hey, you know what the priest would do? Get away, get away. No, I'm not, I'm fine. No, get away. And those guys, if they showed themselves to the priest, they probably had to tackle those men because they couldn't touch them. They said, oh, let me tell you, look at me. I'm God. And how many Thanksgivings by? And their whole families had to say, as they all go around the room, okay, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful I'm not a leper. Have I told you the story about this guy who came and did it? Like, yes, we've heard the story. And you go, no, I got to tell you again. And they run that story into trees and they jump it over curbs and they just wear that story slap out. And he's saying, I want you to continually offer me the fruit of your lips, the praise. That's what I want from you. Oh, I know you can't live up to all the rules. That's why I gave them to you. So you would know how pitiful you are. And then that Jesus did all that for you and that it's okay, get on in here. But I'm dirty. I know. That's fine. I don't care. The fruit of our lips, Matthew 12 and 34. It's not going to be on the screen. Write that down. Matthew 12 and 34, Luke 6 and 45. Matthew 12, 34, Luke 6 and 45. The good man speaks good, stored up in his heart. The evil man speaks evil, stored up in his heart. For the overflow of the heart, mouth speaks. You know what God wants? You know what thanksgiving is all about? It's how we speak. It's how we speak. It's our testimony. It's the grace that fills our conversation. It's the stories that we tell. It's the compliments that we give. It's the love that we share. It's all of those things. It's, you know, thanks living. How are we speaking? Are we testifying? Are we listening to God and then telling people what He said? No, we can't worship Him 24/7 in this setting. But we can worship Him 24/7 in this here. It comes from in here. But it's only if we're willing. It's only if we'll recognize that we were lepers. We have a story to tell. The question isn't whether or not our story is worth telling. The question is whether or not we will get tired of telling it. The question isn't whether or not we've got a message worth speaking about. The question is whether or not we will get tired of hearing our own voice tell that message. There's some stories I've told my kids, and they can quote them, and they're probably tired of hearing them. I'm going to keep telling them because I love them. I love those stories about back on the farm. I love those stories about growing up in Alabama, you know, in Pawpaw's farm in Alabama. I love those stories. I'm not ashamed of those stories. I'm going to keep telling them. Because that's what we do. When we have something worth telling, when we have something worth sharing, oh, we'll wear it out. Oh, we'll wear it out. I'll make this one appropriate illustration, and then we'll be done. And that's Charlie's cue, because he's got to get warmed up to start this invitation song. I have a bright, shiny, brand new bow tie on today. It's not Vanderbilt. Sorry. Is it a big surprise to anybody did anybody not know I was a Missouri fan? Everybody knows that. I'm going to keep telling you. I'm going to keep wearing my shiny new bow tie. Guys, we got to think about it in terms like that. Does anybody not know Frank's got a beautiful grandbaby boy, Jack? Everybody knows. Guess what? He's going to show you pictures of him anyway. He's going to talk about him. You know, Annie, how many times do I look at that naked baby with the hat on? As many more times as she sees fit to show me. She's going to tell me. She's going to tell me. And I'm going to look at it. You know why? Because I love Annie. And I love her family. I like Mark. So I'm going to listen to it. But they're going to tell us. They're going to tell us about those things. Don's going to tell me about how great a baseball player his grandson is. Don is going to sit there and tell, well, don't leave out this part and don't leave out what he did here. And they're going to tell me that. And I'm going to listen. They're going to wear those stories out. Dan's going to wear out Georgia and all this. Ask him about his truck. He'll tell you. Ask him the story of how he got a new old truck. He'll tell you he loves that story. We tell those stories. We tell the things that mean something to us. And God is asking us, do I mean anything? Do you remember the leprosy that you had? Can you offer me the fruit of your lips? Charlie's going to come on up and lead us in a song. The question this morning is, can we live thankful? Can we practice thanks living? Not celebrated on a day. Can we practice thanksgiving? If there's a change, if there's anything that you need to make to confess Christ, to be baptized, to start this life, let us know. If you just want to meet me up front, let's pray together. Let's praise God. Offer Him the fruit of our lips. Can you do that as together we stand and as we sing?